Welcome to the Savvy Scribe podcast. I am so glad you're here. Before we start the show, if you're interested, we have a free Facebook group called Savvy Nurse Writer Community. I appreciate you following and listening to me today, and I would love if you would subscribe via iTunes. And if you love our show, can I ask you for a review? Select ratings and reviews and write a review. It's that simple. I would love to read your review, and it helps other nurses like you find our podcast. Thanks so much.
Hi, everybody. Today, my guest is Rudy Hernandez. His pen name is Rudy Cano, Cano, and Rudy, Rudddy. He has dominated the first three pages of Google, and he's here today to give us SEO and some pitching tips in your content writing and beyond. Rudy is a decorated Afghanistan war veteran, executive producer, and an author. His body of work includes political campaigns, published works, health insurance, and humanitarian aid. He has a passion for projects that bridge the gap between civilians and veterans to shine on a brighter light issues. He is incredible, you guys. Wait till you listen to some of his stories. One of the quotes he has is, "I'm 5 foot 2 and have had to fight for everything everywhere and twice as hard. Don't you dare let me see you quit." How cool is that? I hope you enjoy this show and this intense interview. Welcome to the Savvy Scribe Podcast, a podcast for healthcare professionals who want to build a profitable writing business. I'm your host, Janine Kalbach. I'm a wife, mother of two incredible boys, labor and delivery nurse who created my own profitable writing business back in 2015, and I'm ready to share my secrets along the way with some help from some incredible guests. My goal is to help you open up your creative mind with my podcast, courses, and Facebook group, the Savvy Scribe Collective, to help you build your own profitable writing business. So let's take a listen. Welcome, Savvy Scribes, to another episode of the Savvy Scribe podcast. Today I have Rudy Hernandez here. He is a freelance writer, and I'm just going to dive right in. So how are you doing today?
No, I'm doing well, Janine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, too. So just start off with the conversation today. Just tell our listeners, you know, a little bit about you, where you're from, what you did before you even started writing, and maybe even what got you into writing.
Okay, sure. Let's see. I believe before I got into all of this, I was in the Marine Corps. I was in the infantry. I served for 6 years. And I was right around the last year where your contract is about to expire, where your higher ups really ask you, like, all right, so what's the next step? What are you going to do with your life? And I was like, I think I'm going to follow my dreams. So I applied to the New York Film Academy in the Burbank campus in California. I got accepted. From there, I just started dabbling in just different things until I got closer to the first day of class, a couple of different short films, things like that, just really researching more about like the industry. Then I got out to California, was out, did my degree, my 4-year degree in 3 years. I also assisted on a political campaign for Mayor Garcetti, who is also the current mayor of Los Angeles right now. Let's see. I worked with a lot of nonprofit organizations for veterans and things of that nature. And they just kind of just build up over time until you get to a place where you want to get published. You just say your name and it happens.
Very cool. Wow. What made you go into the Marines?
It was always a dream of mine when I was a little kid.
It's very cool.
Yeah.
Where did you serve time at?
Well, I deployed 3 times and 3 different types of deployments. The most shiny, interesting one is the Afghanistan one,
sure.
Combat deployment out there to Helmand Province near Sistani, which is like the city battleground area kind of thing for you civilians out there. It's just, it's way out there.
Wow.
And then there was another one, which was called a MEU, a Marine Expeditionary Unit. And so with that deployment, you are on a Navy ship and you go from port to port in whatever sea it takes those 3 ships to be in. The U.S. military has a fleet in every ocean at all times. And that's how the Marine Corps is able to respond within 24 to 48 hours to any international threat. And that's actually how I got my humanitarian service ribbon, my medal for that. was we were passing by Haiti in 2010 during that deployment, and the earthquake just hit. And we were literally like right passing the island. So we turned around, we started unloading equipment, supplies, and rendering first aid. So that was pretty cool about that.
Wow. Well, for one, thank you so much for your service. That is just incredible. And the stories you must have. I mean, I can't, you know, you get so, being in the United States my whole life, like you just get used to here, and you know, how free we actually are is incredible. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's crazy. Like I've been traveling like all, like pretty much like my whole life. Even as a kid and stuff like that, it's always been something that I've been passionate about.
Internationally or just like throughout?
Yeah. Internationally and stuff.
Very
like,
good.
Where'd
you grow up? Where would you say you're from?
Well, I'm from New Jersey. But I was born in Managua, Nicaragua. I'm actually a U.S. immigrant. I earned my citizenship through my military service.
Very good.
Yeah, I just figured, you know, it's the right way to go about it. I'm very patriotic. I love this country. I came here when I was very young. But I did visit my mother country every summer for about just a couple years.
Wow.
But then I would also, when I got tired of that, I would ask my grandparents, can we go to Puerto Rico now? Can we go here or there?
Yeah, you just wanted to check out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very good. Very good. So you did the Film Academy. You did all these like crazy things. I can't believe how much you've already done in your life. What brought you into writing?
It was also that... that military audience as well, that military experience. I tried writing. I was trying to get into, you know, at this time I didn't have that relationship with history yet, the History Channel or A&E or any of those other places, Discovery. So I was trying to get out there, and there was this little company called We Are the Mighty at the time. They were little, but they were pretty much going after like the veteran viewership, creating content for veterans and everything. And they were hiring writers. And I was like, okay, so as always, what's the pay?
Sure.
So they needed writers bad at the time. So they were like, we're paying $50 per article. And I'm like, okay, so what's your word count? And they're like 300. And I was like, okay. And what does it have to be about? And they sent me some guidelines. So for like the first year, when it comes to like any publisher that's really going to take a chance on you, most publishers don't want to take a chance on you, like just straight off the bat. Like if you've never been published before, self-published helps a little bit, but it's also like it's different. But once somebody does take a chance on you, then everybody
wants
it's fine to take. Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it's fine. And it's like, oh, okay. He didn't explode. So that's all right, cool.
Very good. So you wrote for them. Are you still writing for them?
Yeah, I come on from time to time. I conduct kind of like the, what do they call them now? Like high profile interviews.
Cool.
And so that's what I do now. But I started with like, you know, listicles and joke articles and things like that. So your first year, when it comes to these publishers, you're going to be, that's where you're really going to be developing your voice and the voice that's going to resonate with your audience. So, for example, they had, I want to say, conservatively speaking, around 24 million eyeballs at one time.
Nice.
At any one point in time. I'm pretty sure it's increased by now, because, again, that was, like, several years ago. But, yeah, so within a base like that with a publisher, you want to get your own little base going within that. You know, people that when they see your name, they're already readers there, but when they see your name there... they're like, oh, I definitely want to check out with
what else they write. Yeah. Well, and I think it's funny when companies are almost against having too many writers, because I think, yeah, some places you really need their voice. But if it's something like We Are the Mighty or an article website, I think it's so important to have so many different voices, because I think it brings a different perspective to the writing. And it's funny to me, like you said, you know, when you start knowing authors, when they're writing, you start to know who's writing it before you even look at the person who wrote it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I'm sure you developed within that first year.
Mm-hmm.
So
and you also develop a lot of trust with these publishers as well, and especially your editors.
Oh,
your editors will come and go. Your content coordinators will come and go. But if you stay resilient, if you stay on message, if you stay yourself, you know, and just don't really get yourself in trouble. Don't get into the politics of, you know, it's a job. Don't get into the politics of the job, you know, and you'll live, you know, you'll live the nuclear bomb explosion or whatever.
The content managers, the editors, they come and go, but you know what? If you do develop a good relationship with them, wherever they go, they may bring you on somewhere else. And mm-hmm. as long as you have that relationship, it's very important. I've had clients do that with me before. So it's not truly, you know, you get in good with your editors, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So after We Are the Mighty, who picked you up? Where did you start writing after that?
So after We Are the Mighty, because again, the company was also evolving with time. You know, there was changes to their rates, this and that. So at that point in time, I was like, all right, well, let's see like what else is out there. So that's when I reached out. At this point, I just graduated college and everything. So I asked one of my pitching teachers, his name is David O'Leary. And I don't know if your listeners may recognize the name. He's a creator of Project Blue Book, a TV show that's out there on the History Channel. And so I was his best student at pitching, just conveying an idea, getting people on board. It's like, all right, let's greenlight this, let's go, which has been an invaluable skill. Because when you're working with these publishers, any publisher at all, you know, like Business Insider or something like that, they're going to want they expect a certain caliber of material, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Like I mentioned earlier, like you're developing like that trust with like your editor. You're still not just doing it with them, you're doing it with your audience as well. So as your first year is developing, your voice is developing, you become more keen and pick up on these little nuances from your audience of like what they like, what they don't like, things like that. Like, for example, with the nurse niche, right? Mm-hmm. I've noticed that anything that jokes about joke stuff is high in engagement. Anything that jokes about the coronavirus has low engagement.
Sure.
So nurses like to laugh. They just don't like to laugh about corona. Got it.
There are certain things you're like, well, yeah, that crossed the line. We're not there yet. Too soon. Maybe as time mm-hmm. develops, we will, but you're exactly right there.
Yeah.
That's funny.
And like with the veteran community, you know, like they love Oakley. They'll buy anything Oakley. Oakley comes out with some new style and they put it in front of them. They're going to buy it.
Uh-huh.
You know? So it's just like you get to know these things about like your audience as well. And it also helps for like sponsored content, like if you start to go on your own or something like that. Now getting back to your question from earlier, just getting back on track. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I get it. I can get off a tangent very quickly. But yeah, from where you said, you know, Discovery Channel, History Channel, A&E, who picked you up first? Where did you pitch to?
Well, it was the History Channel because, like, at first, I was doing, like, this cross, like, in-between work between, like, the History Channel and We Are the Mighty. So I got press access to them, to all their content. I met the director of publicity through my professor. From there, I tried to get a job, but it didn't really work out. There was 52,000 candidates.
Jeez.
I mean, but I got all the way up to the third interview. So I was
like, holy cow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's great.
Well, it doesn't hurt. I mean, you don't need a lot of connections. You just need the ones that'll get you
in there. Yep. You're right.
Yeah.
And so, it's not just a connection to just like, you know, be selly kind of to them. You don't want to sell to them, but to really develop that relationship and to have a professor, I mean, what a better connection than that. And especially you said he knew mm-hmm. you being the best pitching person. Of course he's going to refer you.
And actually, like, my biggest ally has been his publicist, you know, actually.
Sure.
Her and I haven't, like, when his show was coming out, I was like, hey, I want to do an interview for you guys, like, on We Are the Mighty. And he was like, sure, let me ask my publicist, let me run this through, you know, history. History was, they were okay with it at first, but, you know, they were, first they looked through all my stuff. They went through all my articles. At that point, I think I had, like, 50 or something published at the time. So they were going through everything.
Sure.
And another thing, too, is, like, when you first start your first year, you're going to get something called redlining, which is when editors, they redline your stuff and they're like, change that or delete that, or they'll do it themselves. You know, until they get that, until you're better with how everything stays on message. When you're able to stay on message and, you know, and you've worked out the kinks of grammar and all that other stuff, because you're still going to have it. That's why they have editors.
Right.
You know, but if you can catch it before your editor and it's completely perfect, it's on message, it's just on a silver platter. You know, you can turn it in one day and get it published the next.
That's the
best.
Or even
the same day.
Yeah. That's great. That's great. So when you first started pitching, like, what can you tell my listeners how to maybe even stand out from the other people? If someone's asking for pitches, how would you get yours maybe seen or opened if it's like an email? Is there any tips or tricks you have?
Oh, yeah. And the great thing about your audience is that they're super truthful, that sometimes it hurts.
Yes, yes.
So, like, they'll tell you what they love. They'll definitely tell you what they hate, you know.
Yes.
And so just be and it won't have to, it doesn't necessarily have to be with words. Like, just look at their actions and stuff, you know. So, for example, my highest article, most profitable article, is one about, this is why the military doesn't use riot shields. And so I noticed that I got a lot of engagement when it came to the police. So I was like, okay. Mm. And so then I was like, all right, well, let me write this other article down the line, trying it out, like, just different things, putting out your feelers. And then you'll see, like, what your audience starts reacting to, you know, and you'll start to see those little nuances, like I mentioned before, about, like, the Oakleys, you can't really joke about this, you can joke about that kind of thing. And
sure.
So that gives you an idea of, like, what's next, you know, because your editors, they just don't want, you know, a firefight in the comment section on social media.
Right,
you know?
I
mean, like, if they do, at least it's not directed at them. We created a conversation. And people are arguing with each other, cool. People complaining about the company, no.
Different story, right, right. Or how the article was written. Or
right.
Because that's the voice of the company. You know, your work is your mm-hmm. work, but it's still, you're talking for that company and that publisher, and that's what they want. They want people that will represent them and, you know, that they would put their name on.
Exactly.
So I think what you're kind of saying is that mm-hmm. before even pitching, do some research, see what's out there, and take, you know, that type of content that's doing well and tweak it in a manner where you can repurpose a different idea from that article into something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And not only, and don't be scared of, you know, failure. Don't be scared
right.
of articles that don't do so well. Because I've had articles that I've only had maybe, I think it's rare, but I've had an article that had like 3,000 views or something like that, which is a
right.
complete bomb. And, you know, it's actually, but because you're aiming more for like the 300,000 mark, you're aiming more for like the 5 million mark, you know, kind of thing. So it's kind of, but again, you develop that over your first year.
Mm-hmm.
And so you will eventually get to those numbers by continually writing, and then finding out like, oh, that article about triage worked, you know,
yeah.
like they like
yeah.
that a lot. Oh, they didn't like the article about like the conspiracy theory behind the Band-Aids and this and that. And I'm like, okay,
right.
No conspiracy theories. You're not into that.
No, they aren't into that. You're right. Yeah. So how often are you in that first year? How often were you publishing?
We'll be right back.
You guys, I wrote a book and it's launched and I want you to check it out. Go over to Amazon, look for Savvy Nurse Writer. It'll come up right away, but it's called Savvy Nurse Writer, A Nurse's Blueprint for Starting a Profitable Freelance Health Writing Business. We have lots of reviews, all 5 stars, top new release in the first week it was launched, and I want to share it with the world. So head on over to Amazon.com, search Savvy Nurse Writer, and get your copy today.
Ooh, way more often than I do now. Like,
sure.
Let's see, several times a week.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I tell people is, you know, whether you're publishing or you're pitching to get noticed with a company, you have to, especially right out the gate, to get yourself noticed, to get yourself out there, you have to like jumpstart it. And that's the only way you're going to get noticed. And then, like you said, then you slow way down if you want. You can keep going at it, but you'll eventually burn out, especially with like one client all the time. But to get noticed out there, to get those samples going, and to start getting your voice heard, you have to do it a lot. It's a lot.
Yeah,
Not
and the
easy.
great no, not at all. But the great thing is though is that sure it is a lot of work on the front end. I'm not gonna lie, it's not easy. But when you do well at it, it opens you up to follow other careers. I mean, like it even for example, like I write maybe once a month now, because writing has given me the opportunity, while only focusing on that, but also keeping an eye out for things that weren't really income, re like weren't really employment related, but were able to generate revenue for, just passively, I suppose. So, for example, like I'm also a licensed insurance agent, so that's like another passion that I was just like, oh yeah, I'm like really into this. Like I love tests. Like I'm weird. Okay. So I was like, oh yay, highlighters, like pens, papers, copiers, this, that, whatever. I'm like, I'm in heaven,
is great.
so I just but like yeah, I mean like I could leave it and go back to writing like full time, because you've already done the hard part. You've people know who you are.
This episode is brought to you by the new Implementation Co-op Group. This is a private Facebook group for the course learners in the Plan, Create, Launch, Land, and Grow Your Health Writing Business course. If you enroll by December 31st, 2020, you will be part of it. What this group helps you with is accountability. You will be inside this private group with us for the entirety of 12 weeks. And at the end, we'll have a huge celebration. Every 2 weeks, I will be going live in the group, talking about and diving deeper into the lessons. Every 2 weeks, we'll have lessons to complete. So, week one and two, you'll do the lessons for the plan part of the course. And then week three and four, the create lessons. Five and six, the launch lessons. Seven and eight, the land lessons. And week nine and 10, the grow content lessons. And every 2 weeks, I'll go live. We're going to dive in deeper to those lessons. We're going to walk through the workbook. We're going to do question and answers. And hidden secret, there is a digital planner that I use that I made specifically for my writing business and life that I'm giving to you for free with this course purchase. And this group is also free. All you have to do is join in before December 31st, 2020, to the Plan, Create, Launch, Land, and Grow Your Health Writing Business. You can find everything over at thesavvyscribepodcast.com and click on courses. At the end, here's where it gets really exciting. Week 12, we have a celebration. So we're going to have you guys come inside the insiders group. You get chances to pitch to clients, and I start the client connection with you. You get your CEUs, and you get to say that you took this course and you will launch your business. I'll see you guys inside the implementation co-op on January 1st, 2021. Passively, now that you are writing, what types of things are bringing you the passive income now? Is it from articles? Is it just different skills that you're learning now?
Yeah, and you'll start seeing like residuals and stuff like that too, like as you keep going, you'll start noticing it helps when you start off writing if you have a day job, and then when you start to feel the burnout kind of thing, have like something else, something new to start, even if it's a hobby, it doesn't have to be another job. I don't know. I'm just a workaholic. Like I just feel like if I'm not really doing anything with my time. I feel like I'm wasting it, kind of thing.
Yes.
You can. You don't have to get another job. You could totally just hang out.
Do people tell you, Rudy, that you like have this endless amount of energy, and how do you always go, go, go?
Yeah, all the time. Yeah. People are like, what time do you wake up in the morning? I'm like 5 a.m. Like, and they're like, you're insane.
But no, I think a lot of us are like that. People that are, you know, really passionate about things, it's the same thing. There's people that are able to relax or like just sit down. And I envy those people because I'm the same way. Like, I can't just sit a lot of time. I love to, if I'm sitting, I'm reading something or listening to something. Like, I'm never just like sitting there. And I know a lot of people that are like that. So like you said, if time is just wasting, like you feel like you're wasting time if it's just you're not doing anything. So same thing with me. And I think, like you said, when you start to feel the burnout of just writing articles, you can switch it to just a hobby, like you said. You can also switch it into a different type of writing too. So it doesn't just have to be like blog articles and such.
Absolutely. Like, for example, just between you, me, and the audience, I actually am working on something new, on a new niche. And it is having to do with all this, but it has to do with not only the same style of editorial writing, but also doing that for health insurance, you know, and health coverage and things like that. And like really getting into like, you know, like the nitty gritty things, like what's the difference between a deductible and an annual deductible?
Yeah.
You know, what's
nitty gritty, but basic at the same time, because it's true. And there's so many insurance providers out there that content, it's the same. It's, you know, like any niche, really, like anything you kind of go into, there's always room for content in that area. So I think you have a great, you know, idea to just write for insurance stuff. And like you said, you already have the experience and the licensing behind it. So what a better person to write.
Absolutely. And also always put the needs of the audience first, you know,
absolutely,
because they are your biggest champions. You know, they are your biggest cheerleaders. They also can be your worst enemy. So don't, like, you know, try to sell them some MLM kind of stuff, you know?
Yes.
But if you're able to also like maintain that trust anywhere you go, you know, your audience travels with you and continues to grow. Like my audience that I took with me from all of my military stuff, you know, writing, you know, it transferred over, it transitioned nicely over into what I'm doing right now. I've also been, I think I have over 800 nurses right now on my social media. And when I started the health insurance thing, I had zero.
Right. And over time, you just end up connecting and, you know, it's that know, like, and trust factor. And then people tell people about you and whatnot. So, yeah, it's a great thing. It's a great thing. Wow. So I think a lot of these tips, you know, just to even get your stuff published, like whether, like getting your ideas out there, what are those right ideas that editors are looking for the website? Look at that content, look at the research behind it. What are people really getting into? That's how your articles are going to get shared and liked and even picked up by different companies. And then, you know, you can kind of, even if you're doing some pitching, look, you know, at a competitor website and see what did really well over there and take, you know, an idea from that article and expand. You know, a lot of articles have, like most things that are blog written, have different subtitles for, you know, different headings for the different areas of the article. Take one of those and make it your own, you know, and really expand on that one idea. And I think that's, people are always asking me, like, how do I get companies to read what I want to be published or what I have an idea for? And I think it's truly knowing the company, knowing what their audience is into, and breaking it down to the audience's needs, like you said.
And the best way to identify if, like, you know, if you can even understand the audience, try to be the audience too. Like, what makes us, you know,
right.
Like what makes you, like what products do you buy? What things do you do on a day to day? Like, what are your pain points throughout the day, throughout the month? You know, you're going to find that your audience has a lot in common with what you do, because even though we as human beings like to think we're special, we aren't.
It's true.
And we only become special when other people consider you that,
Right.
Like, I'm not special just because I'm like, I'm Rudy, I'm special. And it's like, no, it doesn't work that way. Somebody else has to say it. Somebody else has to do it.
Well, you are special, Rudy.
So there you go.
I gave you permission to say you're special because you are. You truly, like, how old are you, Rudy?
I just turned 30 this year.
What an amazing, like, that's so crazy. In 30 years, how much you have done. I mean, that's truly remarkable.
Yeah, and I didn't even get into Korea or Japan or any of that.
You'll get there. You'll get there this episode, I'm sure. So, you know, now you're connected, you said, with 800 nurses. Where can other people find you? Where are you at out there?
So, I don't respond to Twitter.
So. I'm bad at Twitter. It's horrible.
But anybody can reach me at my pen name, which is Rudy with two D's, R-U-D-D-Y, Kano, C-A-N-O. My full name is Rudy Kano Hernandez, but when it comes to my writing, entertainment stuff, I use Rudy Kano. So you guys can Google that, and then I dominate the first three pages of Google and stuff like that. Oh, another thing too is SEO is very, very
important. Gonna say, let's do a little transition for a second. How did you get out of those first two pages of Google?
Well, it helps when you're given a unique name.
I would say when you're Rudy, you know, it's like Janine Kalbach, type that in. Yeah, it's me.
So like if I put Rudy Hernandez, I was like, okay, not only do I have two D's in my name, like people are probably always gonna put one.
Yeah, you know, I did, like, when okay, I first emailed you.
And then I was like, Hernandez. So I was like, oh, great. You might as well call me Smith. So I was like,
that's the truth.
No offense to the Smiths out there, but, you know, right. I feel your pain.
Well, it's so funny. We have a huge Hispanic population where I work in labor and delivery. And, you know, they'll say, a woman's coming up. She only speaks Spanish. And I'm like, what's her last name? They're like, I don't know. Hernandez, Martinez, Ramirez.
Oh, geez.
It's like the Browns and the Greens.
But yeah, SEO work is very important, especially when you're trying to get like those new views and everything. So what I would recommend most is if you have an audience member that's willing to put down the money to get a domain name, which is like the website, www.something.com, a hosting place like GoDaddy.com. They're not paying me, but but like if you do that, there is that route and you can self-publish your articles kind of thing.
Yep.
The downside to that is that you're not really going to have second opinions kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be judge, jury, and executioner on everything. So you're going to be, you're more susceptible to be biased, you know, against criticism. But if you need somewhere your content to live while you're still looking to get picked up by a publisher, then yeah, by all means, definitely do that. There are other sites such as, what was it? I think it was like WordPress or stuff like that, mm-hmm. that they have like free versions and you can put your stuff to live on there. The domain name helps. Just for familiarity for the person clicking around. But what these analytics really look for is content. So if you have an 800 word article about ambulances, and it is 800 word about ambulance, it's got links to other like reputable sites, not like just regular .coms either. Like .gov, .edu, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It's got pictures, it's got videos. You know, it doesn't have to have that, but it helps a lot for the reader themselves too. So when you combine that, you have one solid piece of entertainment. So what that does is that these web crawlers on Google, they identify that. They like, oh, hey, look, this article isn't BS. It's actually got
real deal. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's got sources. It's got pictures. It's got videos. It's got this, and that. Oh, where is it? It's on a WordPress site. That's fine. We'll just move this up here. Boom, boom, boom. And so you keep doing that and you link your name too. So make sure that, you know, in that article, you mention yourself, you know, like for example, you type in Rudy Kano on Google. Everything that's ever been with that name I always make sure that my name is somewhere on that web page so that the web crawler is connected to one another. And so that way you get like this cascading, you know, mirror you throughout all of the first page of Google. And it just keeps going and going. And if you're able to do that faster and better than everybody else, it doesn't matter. Your name could be John Smith, but you know, you will probably move ahead.
Right. And the same thing when you're writing for companies too, the same thing, you want to link those reputable resources. And like you said, as long as your name is on that article, you're going to get known no matter.
Exactly.
Just takes a little time.
And I would highly discourage people doing ghostwriting work.
Right.
Because because even though, yes, you are getting paid, at that point in your career, it's not about the money. It's about your name. People right. have to know that you exist so that they can hire you. And then when they're looking to hire you, they have to look at what you've done. And if everything that you've done is just ghostwriting, anybody can do that. I can copy and paste anything from anywhere. And I was like, yeah, I was a ghostwriter for Tolkien.
Right. You
know, I wrote two chapters. And they're going to be like, yeah, no, get out.
Right. Like, why should they believe you? You know, and usually in ghostwriting, you don't get that privilege to just say that you did it because the person you're ghostwriting for doesn't want the people to know that they hired out to write whatever it is, whether it's a book or right.
And if they're smart, they'll make you sign two contracts. One of them is called a work for hire, which transfers all of the copyright ownership from what you write, pen to paper, text to screen, everything that you do, they have complete ownership of that. And then there's another contract called an NDA, a non-disclosure agreement, and that's basically the gag order. So mm-hmm. if they're smart, they'll make you sign both. But if they're not, then there's like a whole other Pandora's box there.
Right.
I'm not really going to get into right now.
Right. Well, good. So they could Google your name. What other platforms are you on?
So let's see. Facebook, Instagram. Most active on LinkedIn. So definitely, and let's see. Let me just do a quick search on myself, actually. Sorry.
Don't be, it's good.
Okay. Yeah, so the first thing that pops up is We Are the Mighty. The second link right there is my LinkedIn. So if anybody just Googles me, it's right there. And there's also some different websites that have talked about me as well. Like I mentioned, like this is also going to be great for your SEO. So let's see, military.com and muckrack.com. These are veteran websites. You know, they acknowledge me as a journalist, as a writer. So there's IMDb as well. Let's see. Military.com again. We got Flappers Comedy Club. I remember I used to do like some internship work back there. Upwork. Another thing too is I wanted to talk to your audience regarding Upwork.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Don't sell yourself short with Upwork. Most of those things, most of those high paying jobs that you see on there, they're kind of just people paying their friends. So, you know, so don't get discouraged if you're like, I'm worth $20 an hour, you know, and you get undercut by somebody that says like, I will work for $3 an hour.
Right.
And you're like, dude, what?
Right.
Yeah.
Have you had a lot of success on Upwork?
On Upwork, a lot more with technical writing.
Sure.
Not with
article writing.
Yeah. Like regular. Not creative stuff.
I mine's kind of like half and half. I've had some really good clients off Upwork, and then, like you said, like there's some you're like, yeah, it's not even worth pursuing because it's not gonna monetarily be worth it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And also like when these businesses and stuff like that on your SEO search, they start mentioning you. Like for example, Open Road Media or Business Insider, because they've also syndicated an article, a couple from me, like 6 things you need to prepare for a hike, like a Marine. So they syndicated that. So they went through the publisher, and there's a whole another way of the business of going through there, but I'm not going to get into that right now either. It's a lot. Your first year being with the publisher is key, because you get to learn all these different things, and you're just like, whoa, that's how it works this whole time. And it's like, yep, that's how it works this whole
time. And ask questions along the way, for sure. You'll learn a lot.
Mm-hmm. Nobody will get mad if you ask a ton of questions your first month.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, wow. Thank you so much, Rudy, for being on today. And I can't wait to share all these pitching tips and these SEO tips and just everything that you shared today. We're going to have you back again to dive into some of those other topics.
I would love to. And feel free to, edit as you wish, you have Final Cut. Obviously, you're the creator. sure. I'm not sure if you're, I'm talking like between you and me right now, kind of like not even, you're aware of a lot of the industry terms and stuff like that as well, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Did you also, okay, let's see. You know what a Final Cut is?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Have you been making, I know I mentioned it in the show, I meant to reach out earlier and mention that too. Have you been, how is your chain of title looking for all of your stuff?
What do you mean?
That's a wrap for today's episode of the Savvy Scribe. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed today's show, we'd love for you to subscribe and leave a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Until next time.
Again, thank you for listening. If you're ready to explore freelance writing as your next PRN job or even full-time, I invite you to check out our Savvy Nurse Writer community on Facebook and visit SavvyNurseWriter.com to help you get started today.